Oh, and welcome to My Xbox and Me, episode 455, if I didn't get my numbers wrong. I am one of your hosts, MC Fixer, alongside the one and only Mr. Paul Deespoon. How are you?
Hello there. I am good. How are you?
I'm not bad, mate. I'm not bad. A little tired, a little bit raspy, a little bit sick, unfortunately. Hence why I missed this week's Baldur's Gate session, which I'm upset about. And of course, the one and only Mr. Matt P. Video rejoining us as well. Hello. How are you?
I'm good. Hello, everybody.
Where's Crash? Weekend. Where's Crash? He's dead. No, it's not his fault. He doesn't even know. To be fair to Crash, he doesn't even know we're recording right now. Mm-hmm. That's how it's gone. That's how fair. Messed up our week has been. So no blames this week. No complaining this week. But Crash couldn't be with us. We are sorry. We are sorry.
The bitch.
You know, this is he's a. We got to stop that bit. I wish I never started that bit. We got to stop it. I feel so bad. If you didn't know, this is My Xbox and Me, our Xbox podcast, right here on youtube.com/MyXboxandMe and all podcast services. If you want to support the show, head over to patreon.com/MCFixer. I really do have to implore you to do so. We've been doing this show now for a really, really long time. I've been doing this show for a really long time. I've always tried my hardest to keep it ad-free. I've always tried to make it a passion project. I've always made it something I love doing. And I do. That hasn't changed here. But unfortunately, times are hard for everyone. That includes podcasters. And now we do need financial support. I wouldn't say it like this otherwise. If you enjoy this show, please do consider supporting on patreon.com/MCFixer. Or if you're not a Patreon person and you prefer Twitch, twitch.tv/MCFixer. We've got a donation button and we got subs. Or if you want YouTube members, wherever you want to support, there are positions to support. Go and do so. Yeah, I don't talk to the boys about it or anything like that. But yeah, it's a hard life right now as a content creator. Full-time content creating is a challenge. And My Xbox and Me has been a passion project, obviously, that I've done there for 8 years plus, which is crazy. But now is the first time I'm actually at a point where I'm like, yeah, we have to start. If we want this to grow and to continue and to keep enjoying the content we make, we have to start putting more into it. So please, please do consider going to support if you enjoy the show every week. Let's not forget, 12-hour stream is happening on the 12th of April. Make sure you book some time off work. I saw Yami post in the Discord the other day saying that he's booked it off. Do not forget, 12 hours of game shenanigans with myself, Matt, Despawn, and Crash. So that should be a good time. Topic of the show this week, we have got... What did we decide? I haven't got it in front of me.
Dragon's Dogma 2 controversy.
Thank you. Ooh. Dragon Dogma 2. A little video game that's come out. Guys, Capcom don't miss, right?
Capcom don't miss.
Well, Capcom don't miss. Currently sat at an 86 on Metacritic.
86? That's very good. That's a very good video game.
62 reviews as well. So a lot of reviews in there, and it's netted out at an 86. That's very impressive.
Quick question. How's it doing on Steam? What are the Steam reviews like?
Oh, less good.
That was mean. This is a weird multi-layered conversation to have, really, right? Because you've got Dragon Dogma 2, very good game. Critically, a very good game. Obviously, I'm getting 8, 9s, a few 10s here and there across the board. Capcom, once again, a beloved publisher who has had a near perfect track record as of lately. Other than that one game, we don't talk about that one though. Do we despawn?
Exoprimal?
I love Exoprimal. Well, those 2 weeks I spent playing it were fantastic.
But yeah, obviously it is in its own controversy, strangely, weirdly, and dumbly, in my opinion, but we'll get into that very, very soon. Matt, talk to me. What the hell is going on with Dragon's Dogma? Let's start, first of all, you've played the game. So let's start off.
I played.
What do you think of Dragon Dogma 2?
I'm about 10 hours into Dragon's Dogma 2. I was very unfamiliar with the first game. Like, other than seeing the trailers for Dragon's, and I think they've done a great job at marketing Dragon's Dogma. In everything they've shown, it looks like a hell of a lot of fun. It looks like, you know, proper power fantasy trip. Awesome. And every time I see more videos for the game, I go like, man, I want to get there. Man, that looks like a lot of fun. But the first 10 hours of this game to where I am is rough going. Okay. And I am not having a whole lot of fun. It's slow. Like, it starts you off with the ability to sort of switch between four classes. So you pick a class and then you have to go like a couple of hours into the game and then you're basically allowed to switch classes kind of whenever you want. It's kind of complicated, but those starting classes are not particularly fun to play. I think like especially the mage is like so dull. There's no lock on. And so like you're trying to fire spells at stuff flying around and God knows if you're going to hit them. And it's just really unfun. But I can see, and I think this game will click for me after 15, 20 hours when I start unlocking some new vocations and classes and start getting into it. Because I've seen what's to come. I've seen the videos. I've seen the stuff that I want to try out, fighting these big monsters and stuff. It's just, it is a slog to get there.
Interesting.
Yeah.
I've got the game. I haven't played it yet. You're planning on getting it soon, right, Deekspawn?
Literally as soon as we finish recording today, I'm going to pick it up and put some time into it.
Fair enough. Yeah.
No, sorry. So what I was going to say is, I think like, you know, I talk a lot about one of my favorite games of all time being Fallout 3. And if Fallout 3 came out now, I don't think it would be, because Fallout 3 came out when I was 14 and I had a summer and no responsibilities. All I did was play Fallout 3. Yeah. I think Dragon's Dogma could be that for some people, right? Like if you've got the time to invest in it and like get lost in it and, you know, really sort of envelop yourself in it, I think there's something there for you. Now, I've heard a lot of people saying like the story is nonsense, which it kind of is, like, some of its mechanics are overly complicated, I think. So, like, there are stealth missions in the game, but no stealth mechanics. So somebody will tell you like, hey, you need to sneak into this place.
Yeah.
And you can just walk straight past guards. And maybe if you try and enter a door you're not supposed to enter, they'll go, hey, don't do that. And that's as far as the stealth mechanics go.
Right.
And it's like all things like that, where it's like, oh, this game just feels a bit janky, feels a bit dated. But I could totally see the combat's a lot of fun. Like I could totally see a lot of people getting really invested in it. And really enjoying it. Hence the reviews, right? Like you can't argue with those review scores. But for me, it's a slow start. It's a slow build and burn. And playing on Xbox does not run great. Frame rate issues and stuff like that. Not in combat, to be fair, mostly when you're just running around town trying to talk to people. But and nothing game breaking, but frame rate dips for sure. They've mentioned they're gonna be working on that. So buyer beware, I would say.
Okay.
It's a single player game. You could wait for a sale. Do you know what I mean? Like I could see that coming in the sort of next 6 months if you wanted. But yeah.
Yeah. Do okay, you think buddy. Yeah. Okay, yeah, I'll wait. Yeah, sure. That's not how I work. Do you think this is an issue with the fact that it's the RE engine, which was typically designed for a very linear experience, and this is now like an open world game?
Maybe, yeah. I get like it could be that, you know, I won't pretend to really understand how games work or issues that they have on PC or whatever, right? But reading about the sort of CPU usage that is like being hammered by Dragon's Dogma when you go into cities and stuff, Capcom have come out and said like, oh, that's because we're loading in a bunch of NPCs and then they have to load their physics for how they're interacting with the world. And it's kind of like emergent in a sense that like, you know, NPCs can bump into each other just because they're walking around, or, you know, these things can kind of happen off the cuff, I guess. Like there is a certain amount of chaos to the world, and so like when you go into these tightly densely packed areas with NPC, that's where it's causing issues for you. And so yeah, I guess, I mean, maybe they'll fix it. They surely can be able to patch it. But yeah, when you're talking about a Resident Evil game, what's the most amount of NPCs you're dealing with at any one time? 6, 7, 8 maybe.
I wouldn't say 12 zombies on a screen, right?
Yeah, exactly. Right.
Yeah,
it's just not the same scale. So yeah, maybe that's the issue. But there's a lot of good Capcom juice in you, right? Like you can see the Monster Hunter influence when you're fighting these big beasties and toppling them, and you know when it works and it's doing what it's doing, it's great. But like you start the game very underpowered, very under. Like you will get your shit kicked in if you're out at night, and all of these things that. Some people will love, I'm sure. They'll love the depth. They'll love the challenge and the strategy and the stuff. But there's like no difficulty settings. You know, famously, you can't have multiple saves or multiple characters. Apparently, they're going
to
add
Okay. No, we're getting to that portion of drama. I'm seeing a lot going around on the internet right now. I guess that's the perfect place to start before we get onto microtransactions, right? What's going on with things like that? I haven't started the game yet. So I'm only seeing what I'm picking up off of TikTok, Twitter, and things like that. And what I have seen is you have to pay to customize your character. You have to pay for fast travel. You have to pay to... You can't start another character. Where are you with this? Because it seems like there's a part truth to this, but there's also a bunch of bullshit going on right now on the internet. So talk to me, Matt. What's going on from what you know?
The saves thing, the like multiple saves, multiple characters, is a bit separate, right? So like they came out very early on, well, not very early on, but like certainly pre-release and said, hey, there is one save. It's auto-save. As soon as you make a decision, that decision is locked. You can't save scum. You can't go back and you can't make multiple characters. I personally feel like that is an odd choice to make in a role-playing game. Like, but would Baldur's Gate have done as well if they were like, nope, no multiple characters. Mm-hmm. Like, you're just your one playthrough. That's your playthrough. And when you finish that, you can start another one if you want. Probably not, right? Like, I think there's so many people I know who have played through the first act of Baldur's Gate several times and never got any further, because then they're like, oh, now I want to try this class. Now I want to try this class. Look, they're different games, but, you know, I think it's needlessly damaging to the game to not have multiple saves. I don't know how you guys feel about it. Does that turn you off, or do you quite like that idea of some permadeath sort of experience, you know?
So I'm kind of 50-50. I like the idea of, like, in a role-playing game, like single player kind of experience, like your choices matter and what you decide is that character's playthrough. What I don't like is the idea that you can't roll a second character and do a different choice. Like the fact that it is locked to, like, your entire gameplay with this game is like one character, one choice. Whatever you decide is that, and that's it. Like, it doesn't give you the scope to try different things, especially with it being a single player. So, like, you're not affecting anybody else's playthrough. I feel like locking that option out is a bit detrimental to me personally. Like, sure. I like with the dragon with the Baldur's Gate thing, I like having the option to go like, okay, so I've done it this way, what if I did it a different way? What if I like saved it at this point and then choose like my path and then go, all right, cool, I like this, let me try it a different way and see what happens this way. Maybe if I kill every NPC in the town, it'll be cool and it'll be funny and it'll be hilarious. Maybe if I befriend a certain person, it'll be great. Maybe what happens when I choose this like layout of pawns that I want to run with? Like I think the good thing about RPGs is that they give you that choice. And it seems like this is locking off that a little bit, which is kind of like turning me off a little.
Do you know what it is for me? I have two different opinions on this, right? I have the MC Fixer opinion and I have the Corey Spearman opinion on this. And let me explain the two, right?
Yeah.
So MC Fixer, privileged position, gets code for game, right? And has only got time for one playthrough. So for me, yeah, this is perfect. Right? One playthrough, every decision matters. You know, I'm going to play this, like you said, permadeath, those type of things. Like that's typically how I play games. I don't really have time to play multiple playthroughs of games unless I really love the game. You know, Baldur's Gate we're doing, and that's been my third time playing through that. Resident Evil, things like that. So there's that part of it where I'm like, this doesn't really affect me, so it doesn't bother me as such in terms of this is how I would play the game anyway.
Yeah.
But the other side of it, being like me, Corey, is like, well, yeah, it does seem like a very strange decision, especially for a single player game, right? Like, let's say hypothetically, again, this is a $70 game, $60 game, whatever it may be, right? Yeah, you should be able to have the option to have multiple different characters and play through it multiple different times in different variations of how you want to do so, especially in a role-playing game like this. It does seem very, very, very strange on Capcom. But also being a Capcom fan, I know from Resident Evil, right? I know how they design games. So Resident Evil is very similar. Like, I know it's not an RPG, obviously, and it's a more linear experience, but they like you to play through a game and then go through it again and experience it again, but from the start. That's how Capcom have always...
Yeah,
I found Devil May Cry, obviously not Devil May Cry, very different. Again, I don't know if I'm explaining it properly, but it's like Resident Evil 4 or Village, right? Mm-hmm. Like, you play through those games and New Game Plus is play through the game again on your save that you've already completed.
To
experience that, which you learned obviously with Village because you didn't know that. when you're like, where's New Game Plus? So it does feel very much like a Capcom thing to do, unfortunately. And that's a good thing in some aspects, and obviously it's a bad thing in others. I think in this game specifically, it's a bad thing. I think Capcom have got this wrong.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they have come out and they've said they're going to add the ability to start a new game as a second character.
Yeah.
But you still, they I don't think, from my understanding, they're not going to add the ability to sort of have manual saves that you can go back to, that you can
save. That's fine.
So you're just...
I'm perfectly good with that, personally.
Yeah. I think so. I think that's fine. You know, yeah. At that point, I guess that is like an artistic decision. The thing I like about in Baldur's Gate, though, is sometimes because the world is so chaotic, stuff can break. Mm-hmm. Like the first time in my personal Baldur's Gate game, I went to the Goblin Camp to try and save Halsin. He was just aggroed on my whole team for no, like, it's clearly a bug.
Yeah.
And I was like, okay, well, I can just reload this save and it fixed it.
Yeah.
And then I had Halsin in my team. And so, like, it's those things that I would worry about with a game. I haven't run into anything like that, but it's those things that I would worry about with sort of Dragon's Dogma. And there is, like, a mechanic in the game that I guess would negate that kind of stuff, whereby you can... any NPC that dies in the game, you can resurrect.
Oh, interesting.
And you can do it at... as far as I'm aware, I haven't, like, gone deep enough to figure this out, but I guess you could do it at any time. Like it says, when an NPC dies, either you can if you see it, you can resurrect them there and then if you've got a certain material. If you don't, and I haven't seen this, but it says, somebody will come and collect that body and take it to the morgue in the capital city. And then you go to the morgue in the capital city and there's fucking bodies everywhere and you talk to the guy and you're like, oh yeah, I want that one over there.
I want it.
Go revive him and then it happens. So it's kind of a cool mechanic because I always remember in Fallout 3, like one of the main early quest givers had died somehow, like got outside of Megaton and died. And like, I could not figure out what I was supposed to do and da da da. And it just kind of like broke that quest line for me. So those things
sounds
happen.
Sounds like
giant...
Bethesda.
Well, yeah. But these things happen in these giant open world RPGs. It's part of the love of them, right? And so
yeah, no, 100%.
I understand why people would want saves to kind of figure that stuff out, but doesn't sound like it's coming.
Yeah.
The other half of the controversy.
Yeah, please.
Is the microtransactions. So these were detailed in the reviewer's guides, but as far as I'm aware, nobody got early codes, there was no like pre-order deluxe edition that you get because you're a reviewer and it gives you all of these resources that we're going to charge money to people for. And then
which da-da-da. just to add on to that to the audience is that happens quite often.
Yes.
I would say literally 99.9% of game codes that are sent to either me or my Xbox and me as a crew or us individually, we always, literally 99% of the time, we get deluxe editions of the game.
Mm-hmm. Include premium currency a lot of times.
Premium currency and skins and things like that. And yeah, I mean, it's weird. You think about that as an industry. I don't think I add that in the review of like, oh yeah, I got the deluxe edition. It's just like, I got the game.
Yeah, it's a weird one.
Sorry, go on, Paul.
I was going to say, because with a recent example was the Like a Dragon Infinite Wealth. Like, there was a big kickoff around, obviously, the New Game Plus. And for me, I didn't even figure that was an issue because it was just an option for me because I got the deluxe edition. So I was like, oh, what's everyone complaining about?
Yeah.
I was like, oh, okay, now I see. Yeah, yeah. But no, so it's like, yeah. We've talked about it before, like that kind of weird, not a disconnect, but like we are in some kind of a privileged position where sometimes we don't see the issues that people that are purchasing the game. Like I'm going to see the issues that people purchasing the game of Dragon's Dogma get because I'm going to pick it up after this stream.
Yeah.
But
100%. And I think it's something that can definitely be lost in, again, we're the first set of influencers / game enthusiasts, press / reviewers, things like that, right? This is something that's obviously going to continue now forever, but people who have been doing this like for 10 years now, sometimes you forget about that the longer it goes on. Like I know, mm-hmm. I'll speak for myself, right? Like I've been doing this a long time. Like when I get a copy of the game, look who we have here, everybody. It's the one and only Gretch.
Oh, an impromptu podcast guest.
Breaking the stream.
That's fine. Don't worry about that.
I will sort it. It is fine.
Crash. How are you, my friend?
I'm doing good.
We're just talking about Dragon's Dogma. We're talking about the microtransactions and things like that. So we'll get your opinion in a second. Let me finish my thought process. But yeah, it is an interesting one, right? In terms of we do forget that privilege that the deluxe edition comes through. Like you said, Infinite Wealth is definitely the one for me where I was like, oh yeah, I forgot about this. And yeah, as time goes on, you really do forget about having to clarify those things to the audience.
For sure.
So yeah, no, it's definitely interesting. But so, Matt, yeah, go.
To be clear, so we make it, you know, I work for the Future Game Show, and so we do not review games. I do. We do not review games, and we make that very clear when we reach out for codes and stuff. So we say we might do guides, we might do editorial content, TikToks, this sort of stuff. We're not going to put a score to your game. And so sometimes what that means is we do get we get it to the game later than reviewers would. We get slightly different packaging. So I don't know for sure that this is the case, but I don't think reviewers got super duper deluxe editions that came with a bunch of these resources that Capcom are now charging for. What I think is they got the standard game everybody else got, and a lot of reviewers, I guess, didn't find issue. I believe that the microtransactions were detailed in the reviewer's guide.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, sure.
I have not seen that, so I can't confirm, but I have heard that's the case. So reviewers were aware that Capcom would be charging for this thing. And, you know, these resources that allow you to fast travel, resources that allow you to change the look of your character and stuff. You can find them in the game. They are scarce resources.
Of course.
You know, they fluctuate, but they are scarce resources. There's a certain amount of randomness to some of them. Or if you want, you can buy them as microtransactions. And that's where the brouhaha is. I believe, like I say, reviewers were told about that, and it clearly hasn't affected the review scores. You know, as we've said, sat at 86 on Metacritic. And so, yeah, it's a really interesting one. Capcom have come out. They've listed now publicly all of the things that you can buy and kind of, you know, how you can also find them in game. And it doesn't seem like they're going to U-turn and turn off that ability to buy those things through microtransactions. And I'd say probably the one that will affect people most, certainly on in the early game, is the fast travel resource. That is very scarce and very useful, because the alternative is fast travel in a sense that you buy a ticket to ride on a cart.
Yeah.
And there's quite a high likelihood that cart might get attacked. And if you're early on in the game, the thing that is attacking that cart probably will kill you. And it'll probably be nighttime when it happens. And so not only will that thing attack you, 40 goblins will poke out of a bush and in the middle of nowhere and also kill you.
I mean, that sounds like a fantastic gameplay experience to me. I'm not going to lie.
Like, I get it, right? That's part of the chaos of this world. And that's part of the thing that people will love about this game. I also understand why that might feel frustrating to some people. And I understand why that might feel predatory to some people, when the way to avoid that nuisance is to pay potentially for the privilege of not riding on an ox cart like a peasant.
Yeah. The one thing I would say, this isn't new for Capcom.
Thank you very much, D Spawn. Like, I was there, so I'm glad you've said it.
Resident Evil had it.
Yep.
They've done it before.
Resident Evil sold a key that unlocked every single gun in the game. Which you only did if you had beaten speedrunners will know this. If you beat the game under a certain amount of time, you unlock things in the game, and that's what happens.
2 hours?
They sold, something like that. I remember I bought it. I ended up buying that key, but I bought it when it went on sale. It went on sale for like £2, and I was like, "Yep, I'll take that," because I didn't have the ability to speedrun it as quick as I wanted everything. This definitely isn't new for Capcom at all. And I saw the brouhaha, obviously, on Twitter is very much, it's a single player game. How dare they? It's like, well, they've been doing this. This isn't new.
Yeah.
This is something that they have done. Go on, please, Crash.
I was going to say, this isn't even just Capcom. A bunch of games, you get pre-order bonuses. They end up selling those pre-order bonuses. A lot of the times the pre-order bonuses are just like, here's a bunch of extra potions and stuff like that, that they end up selling for like $2.99 or whatever the case
Assassin's
is.
Assassin's Creed does it, right? Like a lot of like XP boosts and like things like that to help you unlock stuff.
Map pointers,
I would argue that Assassin's Creed system is more egregious than this game, if I'm gonna be honest. because you're locked behind story content through levels.
Yeah, yeah, fix, whatever you say, fix, Crash.
Get out of here.
Whatever you say, mate, yeah?
Get out of Mr. Ubisoft.
No, jokes aside. I think Assassin's Creed definitely started it.
Mm-hmm.
I will say that. I remember.
Did they?
When, I think,
yeah, because we had a conversation for Odyssey.
When they did it, I think, was it Odyssey? I think it was Odyssey
or Origin. It might have been Origin. I remember us having.
I think it might have been Origins.
I remember us having the conversation, though. It was a big thing.
Well, again, I think this, to bring it back to Dragon's Dogma 2, right? This comes down to, this is aimed at people who do not have time, right? And yes, do I think it is a little bit predatory? Yes. But nobody is forcing you to reach into your wallet and to buy this. It is a choice. It is an option. Do I think it should exist? Do you know what? Yeah, I do. I do think it should exist. As long as it isn't pushed in my face. I haven't started Dragon's Dogma 2 yet, right? So I don't know. And Capcom have been, from what I've experienced with Resident Evil, with the unlock systems for what I've got, it was never in your face. Down to the new Resident Evil game.
I didn't know it was a thing until the brouhaha.
So there you go. So perfect. So
I mean, don't get me wrong. I wish I had more fucking resources to fast travel, but yeah, I didn't know I could buy those.
Well, I'm pretty sure the thing you can buy, and if I'm not mistaken, you can only buy them once, so it's not like repeat purchases of things. Mm-hmm. Is to set up a fast travel point, and not even the fast travel itself, because you still need a currency to fast travel. And yes, I don't think you can buy those, and I might be wrong about that.
I'm looking to set up custom fast map travel points, but
yeah, I'm looking at the moment. You can set up a warp location marker, which you can then use the Forest Stone to instantly transport your party to that location.
Oh, interesting.
But you need an item to actually do the fast travel. You might be able to buy a couple of fairy stones. It might be like three or something like that.
I think as well, it kind of goes back to this like artistic choice almost of what we were talking about with the saves and the multiple characters of going. Part of the vision for this game is it's tough, you're gonna struggle, and you need to be prepared. Like, if you're going on a journey to another city or even a quest or whatever, it's gonna take you time. You need the resources. You need to manage your resources before you go on that journey. That's part of the vision for the game. The what the developers wanted you to experience through the game, I think. Like, being over encumbered is a big issue, and it happens very easily. Splitting your inventory amongst your party, but still being able to access a potion if you need it in mid-battle or whatever. These are things that you need to think about before you go out of the main city to go on your quest in Dragon's Dogma 2. And so you're almost paying for the privilege of not having to worry about some of those mechanics, which is, again, interesting, and your mileage will vary depending on if you care or not about that, but... Can you imagine, right, if Elden Ring 2 did this and they went, hey, if you want more charges in your Estus flask, you can pay us for that if you want.
Yeah, but is that
not a fair comparison.
Is that what this is?
Because it's not a permanent teleport. You don't get to constantly use that fast travel point consistently. Yes, you can place down that marker somewhere, but you can also unlock that through the game just by playing. It's not that beneficial. And also, I just want to say this. I don't know how many of you guys have played it. If you don't buy the purchases, don't buy the microtransactions, it'll ruin your experience with the game. Completely unnecessary.
There you go. To give you context, me and I've got it. Despawn's buying it after the show. Matt's 10 hours in. Where are you at?
I should be about 10-ish hours in. I might be a little bit earlier than that. Like 8-ish or something like that.
Okay, yeah. So what'd you think? What'd you think of Dragon's Dogma 2?
I like it a lot. I think it's a very, very unique and interesting game. I do think it has some issues, but I think what I like about the game overpowers the issues by like a very significant margin. Care about the issues. Some frame rate drops in certain places. Not having a lock on camera is kind of annoying at first.
Okay.
Until you play the game and you're actually like seeing how it works, and it creates a more cinematic experience in a really weird and interesting way.
You and Matt disagree. No. You and Matt disagree on both the issues you have, mm-hmm. but Matt very much hates the no lock on.
Yeah,
I think it's just different.
I could get why you could get into it. My issue was like early on, I started as the mage and I just found that incredibly boring and tedious, like starting as the mage and going like, you know, a lot of the early game enemies are harpies. They fly. And I'm a mage and I'm struggling to fight you fuckers. Like I can't lock on. So I'm doing fireballs that take me 4 seconds to cast and I'm getting nowhere close to you. Like this is annoying. I don't feel good or powerful or fun. And then switch over to the fighter and I'm having a great time. Like I think the combat's good as a fighter.
I just want to say that's a skill issue, man. Because I'm playing mage as well. Because I think the problem is you're trying to use the fireball when you just use your normal attacks till they fall to the ground.
But the normal attacks are so dull.
Did you unlock the charge version or did you switch to the fighter before you could unlock the charge version?
I switched to the fighter before I unlocked the charge version.
So yeah,
I did now switch to the archer because I needed it for a certain quest line, which again pissed me the fuck off. Some dude was like, come meet me way out over here. I traveled for like 2 days to get to him. Then he was like, you don't know how to shoot a bow. Fuck off. And I was like, I'm going to kill you. I'm going to murder your face.
That's fair.
And then I have to take 2 days travel back to the fucking city to switch to an archer. Then fucking I was tamping. Anyway.
Should have just bought the fast travel from the star.
You should have.
Yeah, little money Capcom man appeared behind him with like, you could pay me for the privilege. But I switched to the archer and I was like, I'm not going to like the archer because I didn't like the mage. But actually, archer's pretty good and fun. So yeah, I don't know.
Interesting. It's an interesting discussion.
It's an interesting game. And I think clearly a lot of people love it, which is awesome. But I would say, buyer beware. I think if you've got a lot of time to put into the game and you're into that kind of, you know, all the things we've discussed, it's probably for you. If you're the sort of player who, you know, is enjoying dropping into Helldivers for half an hour a night and that's kind of all the time you've got, I don't think this game is for you. Crash, I don't know if you disagree, but
I think I need to put a little bit more time into the game, but I think with half an hour you could just load up the game, leave a town, go on a short adventure, run into some random ogre, have your pawn jump on the ogre, pull it off the cliff, the pawn dies with the ogre, and have a whole experience that you'll remember for a very long time.
Yeah,
possibly. But I don't know how often stuff like that happens in the game is the only thing.
The whole pawn, you know, consensual slavery thing that they've got going on is kind of strange to me.
It's not really. So it's two different countries and one of them it's slavery and the other one it's not slavery, if I'm not mistaken.
Is it? Okay, I haven't gone there.
So
yet.
One of them, you probably missed the dialogue because you 100% have gotten there.
Right, okay.
Because in that first little village you spawn in, there's dialogue about that if you talk to some of the people.
Oh, really?
Yeah, they explain the difference in how they view the pawn. So, like, the city that you would be in, the country that you're in right now, reveres them more, whereas the other country views pawns as slaves.
Oh, okay, no, I understood that. But, yeah. Like, from a... I haven't seen any evidence that that's the case. Everybody's like, yeah, the pawns aren't slaves.
We love them. Now do my dishes.
Slaves. And they're okay with it. So we're okay with it.
So you mean when slavery ended and some black people stayed with people, right? And they were like, well, we don't know what to do now. We don't know what to do now, so we're not going to leave. So, yeah.
But the weird thing is the pawns, the way the pawns themselves talk about themselves is weird. Like early on, to explain, this is so early on, so it's not a spoiler, to explain that you should not go in the water, a pawn goes into the water, gets eaten by like Cthulhu or whatever the fuck lives in the water. Don't worry about me, I'll probably see you at some other point, it's all chill, to be fair, I love you.
He doesn't willingly walk into the water, he just starts getting pulled down. Yeah. He's like, oh, someone save me. It's not like...
Terminator 2 theme starts.
I'm going to show you what happens when you walk the floor.
Okay.
I'd always prefer that, maybe. I don't know.
Interesting. Yeah. All right. Well, yeah, we'll have a lot more to talk about on Dragon's Dogma 2 on MXAM Extra. And, of course, we'll talk about it again next week as well as. So keep it locked to MXAM. Boys, let's get into this week's dashboard. We've got a bit of news to talk about. Weirdly, we spoke about this like last week. Xbox is prototyping a native Xbox handheld. Rumor, clear rumor tag on this one. But it does come from Jez Corden, who was talking on the Xbox 2 podcast and said, quote, not a cloud handheld, a fully native Xbox handheld. He did also go on Twitter and say, don't listen to me, I'm an idiot. And a bunch of other different things, but I think he's just covering his tracks. I think there's definitely, we know there's been murmurs about this. This has come up in conversation way too much as of lately for it not to be true. And when I say what is true is something may be designed, doesn't mean we will ever see that something.
Yeah.
But we had a little bit of a discussion about it. This gets me excited. I was thinking back, you know, I've been trying to get an Xbox handheld for God knows how long now, in terms of like, I bought a Windows laptop to try to play games off it that way. Never came to fruition. I've bought quiche keys. I've bought the controller mounts. I've done all of it. I own a Steam Deck that doesn't get used too often, I'll be honest. But if they can make an Xbox handheld that has great graphical fidelity and solid frame rate, that could be the thing that gets me back to playing games solely on Xbox. As we all know, I move mainly to Steam now and PC, but that's because of the handheld. That's because of that device. It's though it doesn't get used often, at one time when I do go on a trip, I want to be able to take my games with me. Now, if Xbox do eventually come out with a native handheld console, it could be huge, in my opinion, in terms of it could be huge for the people in the ecosystem already. No, it's not going to become a Switch. No, it's not going to become anything more than feeding the audience they already have that are interested in that. But what are you guys excited for, a native handheld console? We'll start with you, Despawn.
Yes, kind of, maybe. It's weird. So when we had the discussion about do Xbox need a handheld, like I was very much in the case of not really. But as I've been thinking about it more, the idea of just like you say, like a dedicated piece of hardware that just we know will run their games does sound interesting. And again, we know me being an idiot with money, if they release something that looks good, I will buy it. You can't see it because I've been moving my room around a little bit, but there is a Quest 3 just off screen here that hasn't been played in 2 weeks that I absolutely adored. But yeah. So, yeah, like, I'm cautiously optimistic, shall we say. Let's put it that way. Like, if they release a decent handheld that will run all their games at a good frame rate, like, I'd be happy. Like, I know a lot of people be like, oh, I need it to run 1080, 60K, give me 120 frames, all of it, whatever, blah, blah, blah. Make me a cup of tea in the morning, that kind of stuff. Like, if it runs 720 and 60 frames a second consistently for all of the games, want the 1080?
720, stop it. I'm not buying anything that runs at 720. Okay.
No, right. Like, well,
no.
I'm more of a frame rate than a fidelity guy. Like, if it runs everything at 60 frames, I'm happy.
No, I agree with that as well. But no, we can't. You can't let them get away with that. So, no, Crash, I mean, back me up, please. Please, Crash.
I think if you're going for a handheld, you kind of have to take what you can get. I think there will be certain games where you will get 720, and I don't think there's anything you can do.
No, I agree. Let me be clear in what I was saying.
Okay.
We shouldn't just accept that from Xbox.
Oh, so you're saying everything 720? Yeah, they can't come out and be like, everything 720.
It's a 720 machine. Like, fuck off. No, get out of here with that shit. Get out of here with that noise. No.
It will depend on how big they decide to make it. What price point are they trying to hit? Like, mm-hmm. all of these things that, like, you know, you say handheld, you have an idea of what that looks like in your mind. I bet all of us have quite a different idea of what that looks like.
Okay, are what does that look like for you?
For me, it's probably almost identical to a Steam Deck.
Okay, Crash, what does it look like for you? Wait, we'll go through details in a sec.
A little Game Boy Advance.
Leave the podcast again. Thanks, man. What does it look like to you?
I'm leaning more into the Steam Deck. Like, I was originally leading ROG levels, but no, I think Steam Deck. is for me.
That's where I'm at. That's where. Okay. No. You're a Game Boy.
I just want to say. I don't know what a ROG looks like. I only know what a Steam Deck
very
looks.
Very similar to a Steam Deck, but it's a little bit more.
It's a lot more powerful.
What I was going to say was a little bit more sturdy. That's where I am at, though. I'm at ROG level with it. That's where I would want it to be. And
I think they're not going to position this like a premium product like a Xbox Series X. Mm-hmm. I think you position this like an S. I think you position it like an entry point, like a cheaper thing, even a companion to the S maybe. But you know, a lot of people aren't going to fork out the money for an X and then also buy the handheld, although probably everybody on this call would. Except Crash. Crash is already on it.
He doesn't even have an X.
Yeah.
I still got my S, baby.
He's waiting for the Gears X.
That's never going to come out. Never going to come out.
It's not happening, bro. It's not happening.
Whether or not they will, they need to put a lot of storage into it, I think.
Yes.
I think it needs to be a 500 gig? Probably needs to be minimum. A terabyte.
Well, I think what they'll end up doing is the same as what Steam does and what the Steam Deck does, right? Where it'll have 500 internal and then they'll have a memory card that can run
their proprietary memory cards. Like, do you make them the same ones as on the Series X? They're expensive.
No, they won't even fit in that machine, brother. Yeah, there's no way.
But that adds more value proposition.
You remember what I said about the Game Boy Advance SP?
Oh, shut the hell up.
I like it.
You know what? I'm just saying, it fits.
If they did that and it actually looked like a cartridge slot and it like functioned that way, people would probably quite like that.
Yeah.
Like, it would be cute. Do you know what I mean? At least, like, if you got to do that.
That would, to be fair, that would be a good movie in my eyes. If you could be like, right, I've got all of my games on this, the Xbox memory card that sits in my X, but I'm going traveling for a week. Unplug it, plug it into your handheld control, your console, and everything's just runs as normal.
I would even lean in and sell collector's editions of Hellblade with a Hellblade cartridge. And go, cool. If you have an Xbox handheld and you want help and you want a Hellblade cartridge, we're gonna start selling them. That'll never happen.
No.
Somebody third party might do it, like these people who make physical versions of games that don't come out.
Limited run will be on
there. Yeah.
Print you all a sticker, it'll be fine.
That's the idea. It'd be cute. I don't think that'll ever happen.
No.
But these are the things that like I think, it's probably gotta have over 500 gigabytes of storage. I think it's expensive. But I don't think they want to position it as an expensive thing. So are they really going to take that much of a hit on it? Maybe. Xbox could.
No.
Again,
Microsoft could.
Yeah, Microsoft could. Yeah, right, Xbox couldn't. Go on, Crash.
Do we think there's a possibility that they release it with multiple SKUs? Or do you think it's one SKU down the line and possibility if it does well to
do multiple SKUs? Let me go out on the ledge and say this. I think you will never see Xbox do anything with SKUs again.
That's ludicrous.
No, I disagree.
Okay, that's fine. You can
disagree. We're not playing agree-disagree right now, but
no,
disagree.
I'm sorry.
Say that for MXM Extra.
Disagree for this week.
Now. Disagree.
I generally think that.
I think the only problem I have with that is just how well the Series S has done for them in getting them in households. Yeah. Unless you're saying that they'll go for the weaker SKU and just knock out the bigger SKU and not do a Series X.
Said what I said.
Okay.
Yeah. I'm with Matt and Crash on this one. I think the effect that, like, granted the buzzwords and all this, like, can Xbox run this game and stuff, doesn't look great on paper. But yeah, like the impact that the S has had on getting Xbox into houses, I think it makes sense for them to keep doing that stuff. Would they do that with a handheld, though? I don't think they would.
No, I agree. I think the only way they do it with a handheld is if they have a cloud-only version that is essentially exactly comparable to a PlayStation Portal,
Stop. I'm not doing this. We're not doing this. Xbox, I swear to God, you're not doing this.
I'm going
to
say, they already have a cloud version. It's called your mobile.
It's called your mobile.
Yeah.
I could see them doing a weaker version.
Oh, PlayStation.
I could see them doing a weaker version that does have cloud.
Just stop. I can't. Look at my hair, boys. It ain't even shaped up. You know why? Because I'm so stressed about this conversation. Like, stop.
Y'all have. Look at mine.
Yeah, I know. We saw the photo, bro. I'm like, Jesus Christ. I don't know what you were thinking, man. I'll leave you to it, man. I'll leave you to it. Bro, you look like Dr. Eggman.
I think it looks good, Despawn.
Thank you. Thank you, Matt.
No, is Chris, stay quiet.
I'm not getting in the middle of this.
No, agree or disagree. Do I look like Eggman? Like,
I think T-Spawn looks like a very beautiful fellow, okay?
That's why you're my favorite. And I definitely didn't call you a bitch later.
Absolute pussy. Anyway, let's move along then, shall we? Let's talk about some Baldur's Gate. Baldur's Gate 3. You remember that game, guys? Baldur's Gate 3. Great game. Amazing game. Everybody loved it. Everyone's clamoring for more. Mm-hmm. Who wouldn't want to see more of that game and that franchise and that world? Am I right?
Larian don't want to see any more of it.
Well, Larian have said no. Larian have come out and said that they will not be working on any DLC expansions or a sequel to Baldur's Gate 3. Nah, this has me very, very sad, if I'm totally honest. I am to be expected, if I'm being honest as well. But yeah, sad. Very, very, very sad. I'm seeing a lot of stuff on the interwebs before Hasbro's came out with a statement. We'll read down a little bit. But it was like, yeah, well, this is what happens when you work on somebody else's IP and make them tons of money, right? Mm-hmm, and if they don't let you play ball with your IP the way you want to, you take your ball and go home. You say, no, okay, we're not interested anymore. So yeah, good for them to come out and say it though, because I feel like they could have literally lived on through that hype of like people waiting for Baldur's Gate 3 for the next maybe two games and just let that linger. I'm happy they actually come out and said like, yeah, we're not doing that. It's not happening. So don't expect it. Don't want it. Don't think of it. And just keep enjoying Baldur's Gate 3 and play that through as many times as you want in all its glory. But yeah, Matt, you're our big D&D guy. How does it make you feel?
I wouldn't have expected Baldur's Gate 4 for a very, very long time. I could have seen some sort of expansion, you know, whatever that looked like, spin-off. But of course, they have Divinity Original Sin as well, right? So that is probably the next thing maybe from them, or maybe they're doing something completely different. Who knows? I think like the important thing is not the IP of Baldur's Gate. It's the passion and pedigree, I guess now of Larian Studios, right? And the care that they clearly put into their games. And so that will be the thing I'm excited for. I'm excited for the next Larian game, not the next Baldur's Gate.
So, okay, like, make me understand, because this is where I'm getting a tad bit confused. I didn't play Divinity at all, so those are not D&D games, right?
They're not super far off from Baldur's Gate.
They're really not super far off from Baldur's Gate.
Yeah,
interesting. So what
Baldur's Gate just has a little bit more of the roleplay element, and where you're rolling for a lot more stuff in Baldur's Gate than you do in D&D, and not in D&D, and
in Divinity
Original Sin. But a lot of like the baseline of what's there is already there, and it's easy. Like they've already got that in sort of like their, I want to say, in the DNA of what the studio does, where they added a little bit more D&D flavor.
So what you're telling me is we just wait for the next Divinity Original Sin. We make sure that hopefully it's 4-player co-op, right? Mm-hmm. And what we do is we just get ourselves, it's already co-op, I know. I'm just saying, I hope the next one is co-op. What we do is we get our own dice, and every decision we just make ourselves roll for the situations.
I would be shocked if they don't bring that into whatever the next game they do is.
So this is going to be my question to Matt. Are they able to do that? Is that a, you know, like, you know, WB owns a Nemesis system? Like, does someone at Dungeons & Dragons own
rolling
of dice?
No.
Like, in that way. I don't know. That's why I'm asking the question.
It's fair. As far as a mechanic in a game, I don't believe so. Certainly rolling dice, no. Like, anybody can make a D20-based tabletop role-playing game.
Yeah.
But, you know, D&D as a brand have fucked around a lot. You know, they tried to start charging like Critical Role and other Let's Play channels for using their IP and this kind of stuff, right? And it's that constant conversation of video games and stuff like D&D and that weird gray area of going, technically, every streamer shouldn't be making money off streaming another person's IP, right? But it's free advertising for the company. And
hey, fuck you. What are you saying about that? Fuck you.
I'm not saying I agree with it.
Oh, okay. Okay. No problem, man. Okay.
I'll let you agree with it is all I'm saying.
I'll take it back. I'm sorry. I'm sorry. I didn't mean that. I didn't mean it.
There's loads of weird stuff all around that with fan art and fucking, you know, all these things. So we're constantly in that weird space with things. So could D&D go after, or Hasbro go after Larian if they decided to put dice rolling into Divinity Original Sin? I don't think so.
Gotcha. Here's my question.
Who knows?
Do we want another fantasy game from Larian?
Yes.
Yes.
Okay. Would you not like try something new?
No, I understand what you're saying. What Despawn is saying is he wants Mass Effect, but with Baldur's Gate mechanics, which I kind of get.
No,
please.
And I'm sure a lot of people would be excited for, but I agree. I think, like, you know, they've told this incredible fantasy story in Baldur's Gate. I think lean into that side of stuff. Not to say that you couldn't diverge from it, but...
Not to sit here and, like, you know, talk about Baldur's Gate again, like, in the same way we have, but, like, dude, I don't care about fantasy. They made me care about fantasy.
Yeah.
They can make you care about space.
Nobody can make me care about space. I don't care. Sorry. I didn't mean to upset you, Despawn. But I don't care. I've tried. I get it. You can't breathe out there. I don't understand.
No one can hear you scream.
You don't Fallout, right?
I liked Fallout 4. That was my first ever Fallout, though. That's why I liked it.
Larian would kill a Fallout game.
Nope. 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 Nope.
I'm not saying it's going to happen. Yes. I'm not saying it should happen.
Yeah, sorry, let me rephrase. Yes, they would. No, thank you.
Larian would kill a lot of different types of games, for being honest.
Sure.
Yeah.
Larian would kill a FIFA game, bro. They would kill FIFA.
I wish someone would.
They literally kill. Why am I dice rolling in my FIFA game?
I would love that.
Pretty much what football is and FIFA is at this point, mate, honestly.
Yeah. At least you don't got to pay for the microtransactions for that.
Exactly.
Right?
Exactly.
I'm in the ref space. I got to roll a charisma check. Yeah. I'm into it.
Do I get advantage on this penalty save?
Yeah, yeah.
But there is a little bit of Baldur's Gate 3 news that also came along with them saying they're not working on what they're not working on. There's a roadmap that includes they're working on endings. So all of the endings having fully fledged cutscenes, no matter what the ending is. This comes from Sven again over on Twitter. He said, as for Baldur's Gate 3 and its characters, they now belong to the WOTC. I don't know what that is.
Wizards of the Coast.
Thank you very much. Yeah, and I think they understand how important they are for the community. I trust that they will be treated with respect. Okay, this is not even what I was trying to get to, so I do apologize. There is a bunch of stuff coming still for Baldur's Gate 3, which is awesome. See, I think this is the problem for me when it comes to Baldur's Gate. I don't, as much as I love the characters that are there, I don't realize that they are a character that's already known and owned and things like that, because I don't play D&D like that, right? So I thought these were all characters. Go on, talk to me, Matt.
They're not.
Oh.
So they're, the, as far as I know, look, there are millions of D&D books. Somebody's probably going to pull a book from 1994, which was mentioned in once. But yeah, as far as I know, these are like sort of Larian created characters, but now D&D, Wizards of the Coast own those as like IP.
So Asterion was created for Baldur's Gate. But he was created as part of the licensing agreement, so he's owned by Wizards of the Coast.
Well, Wizards of the Coast owns Baldur's Gate.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. So anything that would get created in attachment to that would be their property. Yeah.
Which is exactly what it is.
So as if we made, sorry, I'm cut you off.
No,
you're so the same thing as like if Harry Potter, if Hogwarts Legacy.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. If they made a sick character that everyone fell in love with, WB would own that sort of thing. They couldn't be taken somewhere else sort of thing.
Yeah, cool.
Makes perfect sense. Okay.
But D&D Wizards of the Coast mix and match a lot. So like there will be characters from obscure books that all of a sudden get a game. And, you know, they're trying to find that new audience for those characters and stuff. Mm-hmm. There was that D&D game we played. It was like a third person action.
Oh, yeah. We played Sheerwood.
Sheerwood. I remember it's the one with the dwarves and stuff like that. If I'm not mistaken,
the Warhammer one.
Played it. No, not Warhammer.
No, it wasn't Warhammer. It was
D&D. I remember the one
we played a lot of games.
Oh, no, I'm sorry.
Yeah, it was before Despawn was with us.
Yeah.
I was on the pod.
But they were all established characters from D&D books and stuff like that. And, like, you know, our characters were, like, I think I was playing, like, your adopted daughter or something. And that had been, like, established in, like, a D&D book from a long time ago and stuff, so.
Throwaway line in some random book, and they're like, "We're gonna make all characters."
Yeah, this entire game.
I think they were established characters. People were like excited that those characters were getting some love. So it wouldn't surprise me at all if you see Karlach spin-off stuff and Astarion spin-off stuff, whether that's books or you know, standalone games that are completely different, or third-person action, or whatever. It'll be interesting to see what happens with them. But of course, people really fucking love those characters, so. You better get it right if you're going to fuck around in there. And they don't have a great track record of getting it right as far as
I know. So we'll see. A prime example, I think, there is a kind of, what's the word I'm looking for? Like an auto-battler that Wizards of the Coast own the rights for. And they, like, as soon as Astarion got popular, they stuck him in the game. Like, nothing to do with Larian Studios or anything, but because they own the IP rights, they were like, cool, we're going to put Astarion in this game.
Interesting.
So yeah, they're well within the rights to do that as well, because, like we say, they own the rights to all of those characters, so they can put them wherever they like.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to seeing what Larian do next. I really am. I'm looking forward to seeing how they keep treating Baldur's Gate as well, as someone who's still playing the game, and obviously we're playing it through on the channel, twitch.tv/ my Xbox and me. It's just a phenomenal game. I heard your session went very well, Crash.
It went fantastic.
Look at that smile.
Yep, fantastic. Absolutely wonderful.
Yeah, okay. Interesting.
You didn't miss...
Didn't miss nothing, apparently.
Nothing bad.
Definitely not 4 days. Okay. Moving on. Resident Evil director and Hi-Fi Rush producer Shinji Mikami, my hero, has seemingly started another new studio. This info comes from official website for Shadows of Damned Hela Remastered. I don't know where that came. Under the creator tab, an image of Shinji Mikami is shown alongside a short biography. The sentence of it reads, after leaving Tango Gameworks, he established Camu Inc. So, looks like Shinji Mikami is working on something and has started a brand new studio. This makes me very sad. Once again, it makes me happy, obviously, to see Shinji Mikami making more games. It's going to be something, hopefully something that I enjoy. Obviously, I love The Evil Within. I think that's a fantastic series. And that's kind of why I'm sad, because I know you look a little bit confused. It's like, I really wanted to see an Evil Within 3 with him at the helm of it under Xbox. I thought that would have been really cool to have seen. But that man doesn't like the big establishments. If you look at it, it's like Capcom, no. And then obviously Bethesda, he was there for a little while. And now Xbox bought, no, I'm good. I'm out. No, that guy doesn't like to be under anybody's rope or covers or whatever you want to call it. I'm excited though. This is obviously a story mainly for me because I'm such a big Resident Evil nerd, but yeah, exciting. I hope he does. I hope he makes something that isn't Ghostwire Tokyo as well, because
So do you think he's because obviously this was just under the creator tab of a remaster. Do you think he's actually working directly on the remaster with them, or is it just that he was listed as like a previous like creator of the game?
Haven't got a do lally loo. But whatever happens, I'm excited.
More games from Shindy is good.
Yeah, hopefully if they're third person action adventures. It wasn't even an action adventure. This is survival horror.
Some of the later games, like, well,
survival horror.
I think 4 on, you could make an argument for action adventure.
Mm-hmm. No,
you spin kicking people
games.
In 4.
Dude, but it's not.
You suplex guys in robes. That's not survival horror.
you could make an argument for action adventure because the problem with genres end up being very loose terms a lot of the time.
Yeah.
So if you want to fit something, I'm not saying it is or it should be classified as that. I'm just saying you could probably classify it as an action adventure.
Look, yeah, FIFA's an RPG. We all know that. So let's just carry on with our lives. Matt, you look confused. You okay?
I'm looking up The Shadow of the Damned, and I've no recollection of this game.
Really?
At all.
I've never heard of it before.
Me neither.
They've put out a trailer at PAX. It's mostly the main character CGI'd into a real world scene, maybe killing the people working on the game. I can't quite figure out because I'm watching it muted. And then there's like four or five shots of the game and like no idea. Third person action, I guess. He's riding a motorbike at some point. Not a clue.
Basically, exactly as you described, it's a third person action game. I think there's like a talking flaming skull that follows you around.
Yeah.
Basically shoot a lot of demons.
Cool.
Love like, demons.
Imagine ordering Devil May Cry off Wish.
That's a great description. I love that description.
Woof.
That was made.
I mean, sometimes you get good stuff off Wish. What are you saying?
No, you don't. Stop lying to people. Boys, it's time for the Guess That Game. This is where I have a game in my mind and you guys have to guess it by asking me yes and no questions. I will give you 1 minute and 30 seconds to guess and you will all get to decide on what you think said game is. The points sit at Crash on 4 in our lead, Matt on 1, Despawn on 2, and me on 2. Are you ready?
I'm ready.
Yep. Yes.
How are you feeling today, boys? Are you feeling like you're going to get it?
No.
I think I've already got it.
Oh.
Make your guess, please.
Okay. I'll tell you what. Oh, you idiot. Okay, you ready? Here we go.
Yeah.
Do you want to see the time or not? I think you shouldn't see the time.
No, just keep going. Yeah.
Okay. All right, here we
you
go.
Just let us know.
What's the order? Order.
So we're going to go Crash, Matt, Despawn.
Okay.
3, 2, 1, go.
360.
No.
Xbox One.
No. Are we doing series? Okay, I'm going to give you it again. Are we doing series or game?
We always do series.
I think it's series, but you have a specific game in mind. I thought that's how we always did it. But if you guess the series.
Okay, cool. Perfect. Let's then feel bad saying no then. But yeah, okay. Yeah, sure. Go again. All right, ready? 3, 2, 1, go.
360.
No.
Go wherever we were at.
Did it release in the 90s?
No. Oh, yes, technically.
Capcom?
Yes.
Xbox?
Yes.
Did it also come to PlayStation?
Yes.
Multiple characters you could play as?
Yes.
Fighting game?
Yes.
Oh, okay. Well, I think I've got it then. What can I ask? Are there more than 6 entries in the franchise?
Yes.
I'm not sure. Like my brain's gone completely blank. Capcom fighting game. Oh, okay. Is one of the characters called Ryu?
Well,
I want you to know that doesn't narrow it down.
True.
Yes.
It really doesn't narrow it down.
Yes.
I'm fine. Everyone getting
put
them
in every one of their fighting games.
I pause the timer. Okay. I'm letting you all know now because you think you know. You have to get the number of the damn title.
Wait! I never said I know it.
I'm cutting it. You better guess the title now.
That's not how this game works.
You've ruined it for everybody.
Have I ever just got everyone a point and I've ruined it for you?
Well, hold on. Does everything we've said up until this point then hold water? Like, now that we have to get the specific game, did it release in the 90s? Did it also come to PlayStation?
No, it didn't release in the 90s.
Okay. And was it on 360?
No.
Okay.
Was it an arcade game originally?
Nope.
All right. I've got a guess then. I don't feel good about it and I needed these points, Despawn. I blame you.
That's fine.
The whole point is to keep it vague, Despawn, and you've ruined it. You ruined it.
No, the whole point is to get points. No, I don't want
you
my points.
Get points. Not give everybody the point.
Okay,
I have fine. A real guess and then a guess that I hope it is.
Let me write it down.
This fucking guy. How dare you ruin the sanctuary of Guess That Game? This segment is getting cancelled, I'm telling you.
Thank God.
Last time you're trying to cancel it, the Discord wasn't happy, so.
Yeah.
Matt, go on, you go first.
Street Fighter 6, or maybe Smash Bros. Ultimate. Is he in Smash Bros. Ultimate? I think he is.
He is, yeah.
He is, Focus. But is that on Xbox?
I want it to be.
Mm. Eastbound?
I went with 4.
Crash?
Street Fighter 2.
I'm going to give you all points. It was Street Fighter 6.
Okay.
Wait, what? I need the points. Shut up, give me two points.
Everyone gets the points. I can't change the rules midway through as much as I'd love to. That leaves Crash on 5 points. That leaves Matt on 2 points. That leaves Despawn on 3 points. And that leaves me on 2 points.
Hey, Fix. Welcome to the bottom of the barrel.
Hey, fuck you, bro.
That's disrespectful.
I'll tell you the reason why I picked it. I actually went and played. I went to see Kung Fu Panda 4 yesterday. I was invited with my friend P Money, and we ended up doing a Street Fighter tournament. So I played the game for the first time properly and got absolutely battered. So I made it through the first two rounds against two noobs who didn't know what they were doing. Destroyed them, Crash. Bam, 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 bam. Then they put us on like the main TV area. Everyone surrounds us and watches. I'm playing against P Money. First round, perfect. I was like, I'm in trouble. Uh-oh. Bro, I don't understand how that guy is so good at every video game. He's good at FIFA. He's good at GTA.
It's not fair, is it?
He's good at Rainbow. He's like good at everything. Like, it makes no sense. But then again, I said to him, if you play Final Fantasy, he's like, nah, don't play those type of games. I'm like, ah, that's why you're good at all these other games. So you didn't play Final Fantasy. You don't know about Final Fantasy 7 Rebirth. Get out of here.
He's out here putting 100 hours into Rainbow Six instead of trying to date Tifa.
How many hours do you have into Rainbow Six?
Bring up the clock. That's actually quite a fun game.
Can you guess
how many hours I have in game X?
I don't think I can. I can't do it on here, can I? On Xbox?
You can on the app, it'll tell you.
It'll tell me on the app. I'll check my Xbox account because I'll have more on Xbox than I will PC.
Yeah.
Sorry. I have to update the app. So not today, lads. Not today. I'm sorry. I tried.
We'll save that for the new segment of the podcast.
New segment, how long have I had? All right, let's jump into Fix the Sack while we've got a little bit of time left over. Remember, this is where you can email in myxboxandmepodcast@gmail.com. Let me quickly check the actual email real quickly because I did respond to one. So nope, no new emails there. See, I won the war there, Despawn. You notice that? Didn't come back at me.
Got him.
Killer Berry didn't come back at me. He knew I won the argument.
Got him.
Do we have any new Apple reviews? Any hospitalized grandmothers?
I don't know. We've got to check on those grannies.
I'll check.
Go and have a check. Meanwhile, I will ask Anubis's question, who says, with Dragon's Dogma 2, Rise of the Ronin, Alone in the Dark, Princess Peach, all releasing this week, and South Park Snow Day releasing next Tuesday. Did you guys remember a South Park game was coming out next Tuesday?
I did. Yes, I've reached out for a code. Yes.
Okay. I'm scared. Is this the most packed in week? Yeah, I'm scared for South Park Snow Day. I want it to be good. Do I think it will be? Probably not.
Well, Trey and that have been a part of it.
Yeah?
To be fair to them. Yeah, they have actually been a part of the process again. And so I think the important thing to remember with this game is it is designed purposefully as what it is. It's not trying to be...
Co-op, third person. Co-op,
defense,
action?
Tower defense-y action. Yeah. Like,
okay.
I wouldn't go into it expecting like a Stick of Truth or
I'm not, but I'm just a bit like.
I wouldn't go into it expecting
anything.
A your typical South Park experience.
Yeah. Even just the look of like.
It looks janky.
So much of the charm of Stick of Truth and Fractured Butthole is that it looks like the show. It looks like you're playing the show, and this very much doesn't. And that's a choice that they made.
This is 3D.
Yeah,
exactly. I love that's his point, yeah.
Yeah,
is it like...
It goes back to the N64 game they had, Snow Day. That's literally what it's in... It's in with that sort of...
All I remember is vibe. Pissing on snowballs and throwing them at people.
That's that's what I'm hoping we can do in this. Mm-hmm. No, that weren't tower defense, no.
Yeah. But, yeah. To answer your question about podcast reviews, the last one I can see is from 21st of January, which I don't think we actually covered.
I don't think we read this one. I don't think I've got this one up as well. Do you want to take it, this one? Feel free.
Yeah, sure. So this comes from Bondness, 5 stars. Thank you. Great Xbox podcast that covers everything. Also includes chat about other gaming stuff as well. Excellent banter and laughs. MC Fix and Kresh are a great laugh. The addition of Paul was welcome and adds an extra dynamic. Thank you. Matt adds a serious tone, but is rarely on the podcast. Would highly recommend this podcast.
Wow, I'm positioning that like a good thing hurts me. I'll be honest, five stars.
I love that it's like Matt's barely on the podcast. Highly recommend the podcast. Just the positioning of that.
It was the positioning, wasn't it? Yeah, that had been slotted in earlier, or I would have loved just a
love the podcast. Well, Matt's rarely on, but adds a serious tone. Chris is right at the end as well. Right, like, fuck you, Matt, for not showing up.
good. Matt's barely on it. Great.
Yeah, Matt's the serious one and barely turns up.
That review makes me happy, though. Yeah. That review makes me happy because I think this review is exactly what this show is. It is a bit of everything. We talk about what the hell we want to talk about. We try and have a laugh, and then sometimes Matt comes out with like a serious tone of a topic, and I'm like, I'm glad we got one adult around here, which I love.
And the rest of us all call Matt stupid for his
opinion. And sometimes we call him a bitch.
This is also very true.
Do you know this guy just ran a whole show, right? Like a big games industry show, like everyone's loving it, millions of views, everything. Matt comes on this show like, you're a bitch. Like, fuck you, bro. What are you doing here?
Yeah.
He needs it as like a distressor from his like actual life. Just call him a bitch.
Gotta keep him humble, right? Gotta keep him humble.
Jesus Christ. Oh, Josh, can you do the question? I do apologize.
Basically, with Dragon's Dogma 2 coming out, Rise of the Ronin, Alone in the Dark, Princess Peach, all releasing this week, South Park Snow Day right on the horizon, is this the most packed week in gaming for the year? And I guess, are we excited for those games?
So, yes, it is. I would say there's a few titles he's missed off there just because of how big those titles are, right? Like, for me, I also have to include Final Fantasy Rebirth on that, and I know I should have done it by now, but Infinite Wealth as well, which I haven't finished. It's like, all of these games, and they're all games I want to try. I've got, and again, privileged position, once again, always, right? Dragon's Dogma, I've got a code for. Alone in the Dark, I've got a code for. Ronin, I've got a code for. I'm just there going, I don't know what to do. I just need to finish Rebirth. Like, that's all that's in my head right now. It's like, get through Rebirth as quickly as possible, which is a shame because I don't want to feel like I have to rush through a game that I'm loving, but that is where I'm at. But yeah, it probably is the busiest week in aiming for the year so far.
This year, definitely, yeah.
Elden Ring DLC week is quite busy, I think.
I imagine some things are going to move.
I think things are going to move as well.
Things will probably move, but I think there's a possibility that stuff moves into a week later. Like, I think it's a little bit too early to say that it's going to definitively be the busiest week in gaming, but I think for the moment, I think it's
usually November, right? November usually has it.
Yeah. But where it's like, we want to release stuff for this year and we don't want to delay it and we want it to be in the game of the year conversation, et cetera, all that stuff.
I think it's more you just want to be in the market for Christmas monies.
True.
Doing the festive pennies.
Yeah, I think it's the level of game there, though, right now. It's a lot of double A's.
Yeah.
You've got your South Park double A, you've got your Alone in the Dark double A.
Are we calling Rise of the Ronin AAA?
Yeah, it's AAA.
I don't know, I've not played it yet, so.
Have you got it?
No.
Who's got it?
I'm not going to say.
Interesting. Damn, how am I the one that's got it? I'm pretty the out of all of us, I'm probably the one who is least interested in this goddamn game.
No.
I'm the one that has it.
Me. I'm the least interested in it. Yeah.
Me and you, yeah. Yeah.
I get that I should be excited for it, but I'm not.
I don't think those are really like you're into like the Souls type game, but like the Toy Tecmo games aren't really like up your alley.
Yeah, not
really. Never really played Neo.
And if any should be, it should be this, right? Like
this one's co-op though, so that's why I've got it. Where I'm like, if Chris says, "Oh, I really love this game, which he'll play at some point. If he ends up going, I love this game, I'm going to go, well, good, you're going to make me, you are literally going to drag me through this game then.
Oh, I don't know if I'm ever playing this game, guys.
Bro, I thought about the other day. What did Despawn make me buy the other day? Was it Nightingale?
Oh, yeah.
Yes.
Oh, for Christ, when you played the game?
Hold on. I was in the Discord. He didn't make you buy it. I was talking about how I was playing it. He's like, oh, I'm going to get it. And you were like,
No. Okay, this is a little bit of a disconnect on your guys' part. Because you guys were like, oh, yeah, we will play it. Fix, you should get it. You guys didn't tell Fix, hey, get it. But you were like, you should get it so we can all play together.
So
I think there was a stream planned at one point and some other stuff. Not hard planned, but I do. The discussion did happen around all that stuff. I will say that. I will defend Fix on that.
So,
My brother.
Are you ready for Fix to be really, really annoyed?
If you despawn returned this game,
I have refunded this game.
This motherfucker.
This game was so fucking broken. I could not get past the hosting page.
Oh,
it hard crashed every single time I tried to get past the tutorial section.
Oh dear.
Am I refunding it then?
Refund it for now, I'd say.
Nah, that's fine.
Because I'm not going to be jumping into it anytime soon.
It's fine.
I'll wait until there's a few more patches and stuff, but like right now.
Fucking hell, Fix. We haven't even played Helldivers together.
It's true.
That's wild. But Fix is done with Helldivers.
I was over Helldivers the week it came out, if I'm honest.
I'm 100% in at the moment. Like I've just seen they've officially announced that there's flying bugs.
Yeah. Wrong podcast. Let's carry on.
Moving on.
Moving on. Origin Cookie Man says, if you were in charge of a theoretical Xbox handheld development and release plan, what piece of advice would you give them to allow them to compete with whatever Nintendo or PlayStation have to offer? Examples listed... Okay, whatever. A, power play, e.g. it should be able to run GTA 6 natively. B, price/value play, e.g. it should be cheaper than a Series X. C, feature play, it should have better frame rates, better features than Nintendo Switch 2, e.g. Steam compatibility / haptics / VR. D, other. So...
My piece of advice, don't even look at the Switch with whatever you're planning.
Yes.
The Switch is its own anomaly. It's its own thing. It's Nintendo will go off and do its own whatever it needs to do, and Nintendo will be successful. Don't look at the Switch. Don't try and compete with the Switch, because the Switch shouldn't have been as popular as it is when you see the way that runs certain games and people are still cool with it. Don't look at the Switch. You can't do what the Switch does.
No. Nintendo is entirely own thing.
You can't do something that's a little bit better or improves on the Switch stuff unless you're drastically better. Don't look at the Switch, I think.
Yeah. Personally, I think feature parity with what your competitors are doing. So, yeah, haptic feedback. I don't know if it's a major concern, but I feel like there are definitely some publishers out there, developers that are like, well, PlayStation's bigger market and it offers haptic controls. So let's just focus on those. Offer that parity so it's easier to port that stuff and you don't have to rework your gameplay.
I disagree.
I think the problem with haptics on a handheld is you're increasing the price of the handheld for haptics.
But by how much? Like, if you compare the controllers themselves, which do and do not have haptics, like, it's £10.
How much of a loss are they taking on a controller already for that? And how much of a loss are they already going to be taking on a handheld?
Yeah.
I just think they're already probably going to be taking losses, that adding that loss onto it, that it would be more of an increase than adding haptics to a controller. Because controllers are generally cheaper than a handheld.
I just think it makes sense to kind of like offer an easier parity.
Yeah,
and parity, to be fair,
PlayStation are the anomaly.
Yeah.
PlayStation are the
market leader in gaming.
But they're the market leader in console gaming. They're not the market leader in gaming.
Console gaming, yeah. But this is 100% going to be an extension of console gaming. It's not an extension of PC gaming.
I disagree. I think that's where we I don't look at Xbox as a console anymore. I look at Xbox as an ecosystem. This is a play in their ecosystem, which is we have PCs, We have our one SKU Xbox moving forward, and then we will have a handheld. Which is our ecosystem.
I think you will have like some. I think the smartest thing would be to like try and figure out how to do it. And I don't think it'll be something that'll be super easy or even able to do with the first SKU. Some sort of like resume play where you could resume it on your handheld. I don't think that'll happen anytime soon. I think hopefully at some point, but I do think you'll have features, something like that, where you could easily pick up and play and something will connect between console and handheld, but it won't be sort of the driving force of that console.
I personally don't know if that's going to be possible, because from what I understand of like, you know, quick resume, it is hardware specific. Because it stores it in the local RAM to let you just pick up and carry on. Like, so I don't know if you could really transfer that online.
If they could control Z that a couple times before it was connected to the local and then throw it onto the handheld.
OF4, and then it'll be fine.
Yeah, yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, the amount of times the game's hard crashes anyway, it's fine. I don't need quick resume.
I think the issue that they're going to run into is a marketing one, because Xbox aren't very good at marketing. And I don't think any handheld has been good at marketing. I don't think the Steam Deck marketing's been that good. I don't think Switch is what Switch is, but PlayStation Portal has been that good of communicating who this is for. Because either I think you make the power play, you make it an Asus ROG Ally, you make it run all these games at high fidelity, you make it a premium product, and then I think you go scarcity.
Yeah.
Or you make it a value play, you make it a Series S thing, and you make it a cheap entry point, and then you get as many of them fucking out there as possible, and you make it a thing that people have who don't own an Xbox. But both of those are difficult to communicate and get people excited for. So who knows?
No, scarcity is where it's at, mate. Why don't buy a Switch?
The Microsoft thing that comes in.
Wait.
Maybe they should be. Why don't buy a Switch? Scarcity. Why don't buy a Steam Deck? You guys were there. Scarcity.
Why did I buy a PS5? Because I couldn't find one for 2 months.
Let me just say this. I think regardless of what route they go, there will be a certain level of scarcity, and all companies do that on purpose. I don't think you're not going to run into scarcity with this thing on purpose.
I don't think Xbox do.
It's because no one wants their shit.
Pandemic, yada, yada, yada. They tried their best to not do that with the Series S, and the Series S was the one that was most abundant most quickly.
Okay.
I don't think Xbox's play is scarcity and premium, da-da-da, and I don't think that's a Microsoft play.
That's what I would want, but yeah, I get it. Yeah, it's interesting. It's definitely interesting. I'd love to be able to sit on the sofa. I thought about it so many times when Hayley's playing games, where I just want to be able to sit on the sofa and it's like, she's playing Stardew Valley. And I'm like, oh, I'll jump in with you for an hour. And it isn't, all right, let's whack out the laptop, or let's set up the second TV, or let's, like, I know first world problems I get, but like, if I could just be like, zoop, yep, here we go. What we plan? Yeah, cool. B-b-b-b-b. Headphone in, done. And I'm there. Like, that's what I want from Xbox handheld. And that to me is why I feel like it is an extension of what they're building. It's doesn't matter where you play these games, you can play anywhere, cross save, blah, 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 blah. Everything's all built in. They have that system in place already. So you can do that on a handheld. That's no problem. I do agree with you on the quick resume stuff. Like, I do think that hopefully it can talk to the console in some way, shape, or form. I think that would be good, but I'm not going to cry if it can't.
Yeah. I think the best you're going to get is like we have at the moment with like play anywhere, quick play. Like, you just jump straight back into your save. Yeah. I don't think you'll get the quick resume. Just the way the Xbox is designed.
Hey, they didn't have to do backwards compatibility. Remember?
True.
We ain't that smart. We can't pretend we know what we're talking about. Let's be honest. Hopefully, we answered your question, Roger Cookie Man. But me, I'd value power over everything for me, which doesn't mean it will sell well, but that's what I would want from the system itself. And if I was selling it, I would mark it as the best handheld out there in terms of graphical fidelity and frame rate, if they can hit that. That's how I would go. Because,
I feel like that's just such a slippery slope for handhelds because you're going to end up getting a game, and where we've talked about like the Switch getting games and it being low ports and people talk about it, but ultimately the Switch fans don't care. I don't think Xbox fans, especially right now, to when this will release, will hold that same sort of like, well, we don't care, we just want it because it's part of Xbox and et cetera, et cetera.
Yeah, I just think it's an additive product. It's not a, I don't see it like a Switch where it's like a whole it's more akin to a native portal, like what PlayStation have right now. That's what I think they need. Yeah. It looks for the good, hardcore it looks fans. Clean. Yeah, it's not to try
it and enhances, get a whole new market. It enhances your experience. System on the ecosystem.
Matt looks exactly. in genuine pain right now. And I think I know why. You just, God.
I see the problems, right? Mm-hmm. Of going like, fucking hell, you can play Baldur's Gate on it, but we're going to have this issue with parity again of going, well, you can't have co-op or... and then you're going
to... The handheld?
Yeah.
That doesn't matter.
But it's...
said parity on the handheld.
No. But this is it, right? If you call this a native Xbox thing... then you expect a certain level of parity. And if you go, okay, well, now you can't have this feature of the game because you're on the handheld, but you could stream it if you had an Xbox Series X probably through the hand. Like, you just get mess.
Does Baldur's Gate work on the Steam Deck?
Yes, terribly.
Yeah. Okay. But that's expected on a PC machine, right?
Yeah.
You have different levels of capability.
That's all the Xbox is a small PC, mate.
But they won't talk about it like the same. That, will they?
No, they won't. You're right. I'm sorry. I didn't mean to upset you, Matt.
They will talk about it as a portable Xbox, yeah.
From out of that window.
Let's do one more question, shall we, before we get out of here. Big Willy P says, in case this isn't topic of the show, it wasn't, so thank you for asking. What are your impressions of Marvel's 1943 demo done with Unreal Engine 5? This is a true technical Marvel, pun intended. You can feature all the games here. Did anyone see the Unity stuff? Unreal?
Yeah, I watched the full thing.
I didn't watch the full thing, which I didn't know was going on, which is annoying. But I saw the Fortnite stuff.
Big issue that we didn't know what was going on. I didn't know what was going on either. And then I shit myself, missed my train, and got 2 million views on TikTok with it. So there we go. I like it a lot. Thanks.
Wait, what?
Yeah, we put a TikTok about it on Future Game Show and it got like 2 million views. So
I thought you meant you did a video of you missing your train and then got 2 million views on TikTok. I was like, damn, can you start doing that for my Xbox and me, please? Like, come on. I saw the Fortnite stuff first before I saw the Marvel stuff. So we'll talk about that. I thought the Fortnite stuff was really impressive. Like what they're doing with that game and not just that game, but what they're doing for gaming as a whole. I saw the sound design stuff they added and the character model movements and things like that. Mantle, and it was like, bro, this is nuts.
Yeah, the amount of stuff that they put in, like, I hate to always use the term like beta testing stuff in other things, but like they are basically beta testing the greatest things that Unreal can do in Fortnite and then showcasing it to the world. But like, not really telling anyone about it until like we get to things like GDC, where it's like, you know, that game you've been loving and playing for like the last 6 months, it's using the greatest tech we've ever created and you guys have just been loving it.
Well, to be fair, GDC isn't for consumers.
No, really. Yeah, but no, but that's
it's
what I mean, like
for other developers.
Yeah, but like they're not even really like hard telling developers about it, but it's just like, yeah, like 6 months we've been like testing this thing of like new character models and like the way that models move and stuff like this, and
it's not just
like
that,
facial
though, right?
animations and all of that stuff, and the now they're combining real time ray trace like character modeling. It's just like the stuff they're doing is wild. I love it. It makes me want to get back into working in Unreal Engine again.
I'll be honest, that was my biggest takeaway of like, I make a game. No, I can't. No. The answer is no, everyone.
I was about to give it a real hard
I mean,
the answer is no. But the way they talk about it and the way of like how it's not easy, I'm not saying it's easy, but how easy they make it seem like it can be done is nuts with all the tools that are now at people's dispense.
The barrier to entry keeps getting lower is what they're doing.
Yeah.
Like you still need the knowledge. Like again, I've talked about it a couple of times. I like last year tried to start making a game and like Unreal is a whole different beast. Like Unreal Engine developing in that is wild. Like the node functions that they use is crazy. But when you get your head around it and you start making things that actually work, you feel so good.
But in my mind was the armor tear and stuff they did. And I was like, wait, what? That's nuts. Like, yeah it's crazy.
It's worth a watch. Like, even like you say, GDC is not for the public, it's for devs, but this is accessible in a way to the public, which is what they're aiming for, right? They built a pipeline of going, you play Fortnite, now make Fortnite games, now make other things you didn't think were possible, now you're in Unreal, and now you want to work at Epic, and we'll pay you to come make good stuff for us.
We were watching it with Hayley, and Hayley was saying that her kids are doing a lot more stuff. She had to go on an AI course the other day, just little things like that. Stop pulling faces, Despawn.
Never.
Yeah, okay. You're going to evolve or die, my friend.
I know.
but she was like, cool, they're developing. Like, they don't understand that they're developing games. They don't even know what they're doing. She's like, I was like, yeah, hey, that's what's happening now. Like, that's what you got to remember. When we grew up, we were like, be a plumber, be an electrician, which don't get me wrong, I'm not putting those jobs down in any way, shape, or form, but that, like, that's what we were forced to do. That's what we were told to become, right? Now it's like, Oh, you really like video games? Oh, you should become a game designer.
Mm-hmm.
If someone would have said that to me back in the day, I would have been like, yeah, all right, whatever. Like, I'd be a game designer.
I wish I had that as a kid.
Here you go. Download this engine, sit on YouTube and watch these tutorials, all free. Everything we're talking about right now, free, and you can make a game. Nuts. Absolutely crazy.
Yep.
Wild. Chris, you seem like you were going to say something. Good talk.
Remember.
I watched anyone watched The Gentleman?
No, on
Netflix. Okay, no. I started watching that, and there's one moment where like a guy goes to say something and they're silent, and he just goes, "Thanks, Jeff." So now I keep saying that to Hayley. So now that's what I do. So if I ever do it to you guys, that's me being like, "Yeah, thanks for nothing, you dickhead."
Yeah. Well, I always thought that was your good talk. Yeah. Marvel. Yeah,
Marvel. To bring it back to Marvel. Yeah. Anyone see the Marvel demo?
Yeah. Yeah, again, very with the alternative version as well, which, man.
Crash.
Can I just say, it was off-putting. It looked too real. It was off-putting. I didn't like it.
Yeah. Are you talking about the scene at the end on the bridge, where they're shouting at each other?
Yeah, that was super off-putting for me. I think the rest of it was cool. Visually, a marvel. I think seeing that, it was a little bit too real for me, that it was just off-putting.
A bit too uncanny valley.
What do you mean? In what regard was it off-putting for you?
How real it was.
Is that not what we want in our games, though?
No.
Oh, okay.
For me, it was too real. I don't want that full realism in a game. I don't want to feel like I'm watching like a legit movie in a game. And for me, it was a little bit too close to that, which is a huge shout out to that, to the software and the way that looked and all that stuff, right? Just for me personally, it was like a little bit too much.
I disagree. I was blown away by it, obviously, and a little bit sad that they preempted that by saying, oh, we've taken the Black Panther's helmet off for this scene so you can see how good this tech is. And then I was like, well, I don't want to play your game with the Black Panther helmet on because I want to see this guy.
I can't
remember the guy's name, but he's in The Walking Dead and he does like loads of voice work for like DC cartoons and stuff as well. I believe this is the first game he's ever been in, but fucking hell, he is phenomenal. And that
I haven't seen this, by the way. Just so everyone's aware. So I saw the trailer. I saw like the beginning of the trailer and was like, I don't really care about this game. I'm not going to watch this right now. And then, everyone was going crazy about it on Twitter. I was like, oh, crap, I should have watched this.
Yeah.
So I haven't watched it, but
The trailer itself is gorgeous. The Unreal like presentation. What?
I'm sorry. I'm not laughing at you. I'm laughing
it's
at the
my
fucking...
Fault. It's my fault. Well, I say it's my fault. My computer just like... Everything went dark and then came back.
Oh, okay.
I'm sorry. I'm really sorry.
For the video just fucking,
it was Matt's face. Like, but you know what you're meant to do in those situations. Just ignore us. Or, not you, Matt. I'm talking to Despawn. Just ignore us. We're idiots.
Yeah, that's true. You are idiots. No, but yeah, I mean, Marvel, Black Panther. The trailer itself looks gorgeous. Love the tech.
Yeah.
The breakdown of what they're doing with like real-time like telemetry and stuff Like, they keep talking about, like, now with the new, with Unreal 5, like the polygon system that they're using. It is insane. Like, we showed a bit where they're like, they took a scene of like a car parked at a checkpoint with the light shining at night. And there was like a little bit of snow. And they were like, all right, well, what we can do is we can turn off the lights, turns off the lights. It changes the entire lighting of the scene. We can also add more snow or less snow. And it basically looked like a slider, that like the way that the snow built up on objects. And then we can change tire tracks. We can change the weather. And they were doing it all real time.
Nuts.
It is just wild to see what they are doing with this tech, and this is the kind of stuff that excites me, like seeing how people are using this tech. And if it makes it this easy to design, like, love, I'm not saying it's easy, but like, if it makes it, if it easy lowers enough. If it lowers the barrier to be able to like create the techno, like create the creative side of it, of like, all right, we want to create a world where it's like a snow-based vista, and we could do all this real time without having to program every little element. They could just get on with creating the stories that they want to make. And this is what excites me the most about it. And yeah, highly recommend, if you've not gone and watched this, go watch it, even if it's just for this bit, for the Marvel bit. But there's like a couple of things that they've shown, and yeah, it is so cool.
Interesting. So cool. Yeah, yeah. So you're excited for that game now, or not really?
I was already excited for it. Like, Amy Hennig, single player, Christ, action game. Like, no, nah, fuck no, that, nah.
No. I didn't say anything. I just shook my head.
So do we know what type of game it is yet?
Single player, action adventure game. Basically, Amy Hennig's wheelhouse.
Like, where you play as Cap and Black Panther.
You play as Cap, Black Panther, two other characters as well. So there's four characters in total.
The problem I have is I'm just so over Marvel at this moment in time, where like anything Marvel related, I'm like, oh, I don't care.
I always think the same thing, and then a trailer comes out and I get like a giddy fucking school child. Mm-hmm. Like this, right? Like, and like, I know Deadpool 3, we will get a trailer for that like soon, right? And I'll get giddy again.
We already had a trailer. So,
just how we had to try it for that.
I mean, they'll do another one. Like, all the marketing that Ryan Reynolds will do for that film will be insane, right? So, like,
oh, okay.
I'm all about it. I'm a hypocrite.
Yeah.
Yes, you are.
Marvel sucks until it doesn't. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
We'll see. We'll see what happens. Boys, that's all we got time for this week. I hope you guys enjoyed this episode of My Xbox and Me. Let's plug, and get ourselves out of here. Crash, plug me something that isn't boring.
That isn't boring.
I just got nothing. We need to go back to doing the keywords at the end of the show. So we're going to start it again this week. Because there's no way, I think about this portion of the episode and think, there's no way anyone makes it to this point, right?
Oh, a secret word.
Seriously.
A secret word.
Who gets to the plug point and goes, oh, they're going to talk, subscribe to the YouTube channel. Yeah, like, there's no way anyone makes it this far, surely.
Well, so if you something
exciting. Something exciting.
Why don't you tweet us something exciting? If you've made it this far, tweet us something exciting.
Okay, all right, yeah.
You can interpret that however you want.
On the Discord tab, something exciting. Okay, all right. Something exciting, interesting. What are you guys plug, Crash? Come on, give me something.
What day are we doing the 24 hours?
12 hours.
27th of April, on the My Xbox and Me YouTube page, Twitch page, we will be live for 12 hours doing a whole bunch of forfeits and other stuff. It'll be a very fun time. I don't know if we've released anything that we're going to be playing or doing yet.
Lethal Company will be playing.
Lethal Company. There you go. The one thing. Yeah.
I love how Matt doesn't know anything.
I got to buy all those beans and stuff, haven't I?
Matt's included on everything.
Are you coming to London again?
Why?
Are you coming to London again before the 27th?
Maybe.
If you do, I'm going to just give you something. Stop talking about things that people don't know about yet, you idiot. God damn it.
What?
Anyway, we're going to plug Future Game Show.
Yeah, go watch the showcase. Look, we do a showcase. We do three of them a year. The next one will be in June now, but you can go back and watch Thursday's Future Games Spring Showcase, hosted by Ben Starr, who plays Clive in Final Fantasy 16, and Samantha Bayart, who plays Karlach in Baldur's Gate 3. They caused a lot of chaos and just had a laugh with it, and we love them for it. There was also the first official post-show expansion pack after that I produced, What's
question?
That?
Notice I wasn't invited to be on that show.
Hmm. Yeah, strange.
Noticed. What, am I irrelevant?
You're on the list. Point? You're on the list.
I'm on the list.
See what happens. We'll see what happens.
Jesus Christ. God.
But you know who was on that expansion pack?
Who was it?
Doug Cockle, who plays Geralt of Rivia in the Witcher
game. Oh, sorry, I haven't got that much.
Levels.
When you're looking at those two options. Yeah. I'll be 100% honest with you.
Yeah.
Yeah, wait, I'm also a piss fix wasn't there. Yeah.
The wrong choice.
What? Do you know who I am, bro? Do you know, in the UK, I was on Game Master. I won a golden joystick, Crash.
True.
I don't know what that is.
The question is, are you going to
tell me you've won a golden joystick? Yeah.
Are you going to turn up on the expansion pack with the golden joystick?
If he doesn't.
Could you imagine?
If he's ever on it. He doesn't come with it in hand.
Could you imagine? I just turned up with it like, yeah, you know who I am. You know who I am as I walk around.
No introduction, no nothing. You just.
No, I'm joking. I did see a little bit of I didn't see the showcase. I'm not going to lie. But which is crazy enough, we didn't put that as topic of the show this week either. Like, God. Fine, we disrespected them bad.
We're getting bigger and bigger announcements all the time, right? Like,
you are.
One of the biggest announcements we got this time was the release date for Still Wakes the Deep. Mm-hmm. Is coming to Game Pass June 18th.
Yes.
That's huge. We got to go chat to the Chinese room. I went down to their studio in Bournemouth and saw what they were doing with that, and that's really exciting. You know, we got Tales of Iron 2 announcement and stuff as well. You know, I wasn't aware of that game before, I'll be honest with you, but the fans for that game were fucking excited for Tales of Iron 2, so good on that.
Nice.
Yeah, we're getting more and more big stuff all the time, and the hosts are always great, so please do go check out the future games. Showcase extended developer interviews as well next week. Chat to Moon Studios more about No Rest for the Wicked. So if you're into that game, keep an eye on the channel next week.
Ooh.
More stuff with that.
Very excited for that one.
What are you plugging?
I am going to plug the boring one. twitch.tv/myXboxandme, youtube.com myXboxandme. Also my Twitter, come hang out with me. I post too much, but you know, I just like hanging out with people. So, you know, come abuse my tweets and look at my bald head.
See, Fix, here's what might have happened, right? You said, right, let's plug and get ourselves out of here. Who's going to stick around for the plug? Probably what happened is somebody looked at their phone and just went, oh, there's another 15 minutes of this podcast left, even though they're talking about wrapping it up. Maybe I should stick around.
Maybe
all
you should.
All part of the plan, mate. All part of the plan.
I see.
Yeah, what about you?
Joe, I haven't really got much going on right now. Come over and check me out over on Ubisoft. twitch.tv/Ubisoft. What did I stream the other day? I streamed Riders Republic, which I have a great time when I play that game. The hours, I'll be honest, like, obviously one of those games that probably people don't think about often, and I guess hashtag add all that bullshit, right? Like, but I really have a good time when I play Riders Republic. The community is so nice as well, and we just all have a good time, and I hit a lot of polls, so yeah, if you enjoy watching me play Ubisoft titles like I do, don't be making weird jokes. I know. Poles, relax, used to. Relax.
I was going to say, I didn't know they introduced pole dancing to Riders Republic.
They do when I play, mate. Trust
Season
me.
10, baby.
But yeah, come over, check me out. Also, you already know, patreon.com/mcfix. So help us keep the lights on. Until next time, love you. Leave you. See you later. Good boys.
The secret word is banana.
Oh, no.